May Barenboim, the theme of this year's Insect Fear Film Festival is Female Entomologists, of Which You Are One. What inspired you to pick this topic?
Well, it seemed like a timely moment in the history of entomology. The percentage of the Entomological Society of America that is female is at an all-time high. That said, it's only 26%. And in 2016, for the first time, there will be a female president of the Entomological Society and a female vice president. So I thought it might be interesting to see if Hollywood is keeping up with the integration of women into entomology. And Hollywood, of course, did not disappoint.
There's a female scientist at the center of this movie. I've seen other movies with female scientists. I've seen Joan Crawford as a female scientist. I've heard of Janet Leigh as a female scientist. Are they depicted differently than male scientists in these pictures?
That's one reason for this festival now, because in the 50s, when there were female scientists in insect fear films, they tended to be laboratory assistants who were concerned about getting their hair done, or female scientists who were investigating insects in the hope of finding some sort of drug or substance that could prolong their youth and beauty. Now, today, starting about mid-90s, female entomologists in the movies actually started doing research that was motivated by the desire to help humanity and not just to make people look better and live longer. In that sense, we've reached parity. There are now female entomologists in the movies who are every bit as capable as their male counterparts of doing experimentation that unleashes giant killer mosquitoes on our mosquito man chimeras on the unsuspecting populace.
Well, that's good to know. Well, this is a movie that's actually about 10 years old, and it's about a man and a woman, an entomologist, Dr. Jennifer Allen, who somehow become infected with dangerous chemicals and mosquitoes that have been irradiated in an effort to combat a dangerous virus. Is there anything being done to genetically alter the makeup of disease-carrying life forms so they won't be a danger?
Absolutely. In fact, there have been genetically altered mosquitoes that are actually released that have been very effective in combating several mosquito-borne diseases, including dengue. So, yes, it's very plausible.
How do they do it?
There are all kinds of ways, actually, to genetically alter mosquitoes so that they are unable to spread human pathogens. You can alter their ability to house the pathogen, also alter their life cycle so that they don't live long enough for the pathogen to complete its development. It's really been an active area of research. Still, it doesn't happen in a couple of hours. And I think the biggest problem with the plot of Mansquito is that after the convicted criminal begins his transformation into part man, part mosquito, he goes around sucking blood, and it's only the female mosquitoes that drink blood. And I don't know how you could alter the DNA in either direction to create Mansquito's insatiable thirst for human blood.
So there's definitely something scary about radiation when it comes to Hollywood movies. But is there anything about radiation that could cause these sort of mutations?
Well, you know, most mutations that are induced by radiation do not enhance fitness. They actually are far more likely to create major problems for the irradiated organism. So it would be exceedingly unusual for radiation to produce a half-man, half-mosquito.
In addition to this movie, you're also showing two episodes of the animated series Growing Up Creepy, which is about an orphan girl raised by insects, not giant humanoid insects, but little tiny insects who do talk, however. Does this series make use of any, you know, realistic insect traits or behaviors?
There's a little bit of educational content. At the end of every episode, there's a little closing scene with a story about an actual insect. Creepy, the little girl raised by insects, who is the main character, has a best friend, Chrysalis, which is actually a pun on the word chrysalis, whose dad is an exterminator. So there's that dramatic tension built in there. She discovers that her friend's house is being invaded by friends of her Uncle Jerry, who is a fire ant. I would like to point out that colonies of fire ants are almost entirely female, so I don't know why Uncle Jerry was in charge of everything there.
Okay. You'll be showing these movies Saturday at the Folinger Auditorium, and I know the big part of the festival is actually the insect exhibits in the lobby. And I'm told that one exhibit that always attracts a big crowd is the insect petting zoo. What's the appeal?
It's an interesting dynamic every time we have the petting zoo. And what strikes me every year is that the kids line up and are incredibly enthusiastic, and the parents kind of shrink back with kind of look of, if not horror, then discomfort. So somewhere along the way, people lose that natural curiosity and interest. So we're here trying to prolong it, to keep it active as long as possible. And people really get a kick out of all the different, I should say, arthropods rather than insects, because we have tarantulas, and we've had millipedes, we have other non-insect arthropods. So I think the reality is never as terrifying as the imagined Hollywood conception.
Mae Barenbaum, thank you very much, and best of luck with the Insect Fear Film Festival.
Thank you so much.